Hannah Anderson remembers feeling overwhelmed as a mom and thinking, I can't do it. That's when God spoke to her through his word and said, you can be the mom I've created you to be.
I learned that I had to honor the limits of my body. I had to rest. I had to eat well. I had to honor these boundaries so that I was more able to enter into the callings that I had. I felt like doing all of these things to provide them a good home and to be a good parent to them was what they needed. But as I entered into this space of embracing my own limits, I became more available for them.
This is Family Life Today. Our host is Dennis Rainey. I'm Bob Lapine. There is a humility required for us to admit that we are human and to respect the limits that God has put on us in our humanity. We're going to talk more about that today with our guest, Hannah Anderson. Stay with us. And welcome to Family Life Today. Thanks for joining us. I was reading recently in a new book from Scott Sauls called From Weakness to Strength, a book on leadership. And I came across something I'd never seen before. He included in his book the covenant prayer that John Wesley prayed. And it ties into what we've been talking about this week in terms of living lives in submission to Christ under his yoke. Wesley prayed this, and this also reminded me of the contract you and Barbara, the title deed to your lives that you signed over to Christ not long after you were married. Wesley prayed, I'm no longer my own, but thine.
Yeah.
Put me to what thou wilt, rank me with whom thou wilt, put me to doing, put me to suffering, let me be employed for thee or laid aside for thee. Let me have all things, let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to thy pleasure and disposal. And now, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thou art mine and I am thine, so be it. And let the covenant which I have made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen. That's a great reminder that whatever God has for you, whether it's suffering, being laid aside, being in a humble circumstance, we need to embrace that yoke with joy if we want to experience abundance in life.
He had found the art of contentment in the midst of ambitions, desires, drives, things he wanted to get done.
Paul talked about it as the secret of contentment,
right?
To do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Right. And we've got a couple of ladies here on the broadcast, one extremely special lady who comes from Virginia.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
I just decided
do
to look out the corner to the corner of my eye and look at my wife, Barbara, who joins us. But she's a guest, right, Barbara? She's
That's
our
right.
guest here.
She is the special guest.
You're the one who
I'm
brought
here
her
all
in
the
here.
Time.
I would say both ladies are extremely special.
Oh, I would too, Bob. Yes. Well said, well said. But Hannah Anderson joins us, author of Humble Roots. Welcome back, Hannah. We're thrilled you joined us all the way from Virginia and from the Blue Ridge Mountains.
It is a joy to be here. I don't always like to leave Virginia, but it's been good to be here with you.
It has been good. You've got a story you tell that evidently illustrates what we're talking about here this week about humility and fruitfulness and seeing God use us on purpose. It has to do with green beans.
Which you love green beans, so this will be a fun story for you.
I do,
won't
but
it?
I like green beans with just a little bacon grease in there.
Okay? It's the way his mama made them.
Yeah, it is.
Yes. So one of the most surprising things about my journey into the idea of humility and applying it to my life was how it affected my work and my productivity. And I shouldn't have been surprised. I think I should have seen this because in the passage where Christ calls us to come to him for rest and to experience his humility, he uses the imagery of a yoked oxen. Now, this is not an ox who is sitting around the pasture or sitting under the trees. This is a working ox. This is for the purpose of a fruitful, flourishing field. The farmer brings the ox under his control so that he can accomplish something. So even though Christ is calling us to rest, he's not calling us to passivity. He's calling us to productivity and peace together. And so as I grew into understanding more about Christ's humility, about the work he has called me to, I began to realize that humility has this amazing and dramatic effect on how we enter into the work we've been given to do. And one of the clearest examples of how I saw this play out was in my family's life, where my husband is an avid gardener. He loves it. It is his jam to dream and plan his garden each year. And he especially likes to work with heirloom varieties, maybe apples that have been passed down generation to generation, or heirloom tomatoes. And one year he got his hands on heirloom beans. These beans were pole beans that had been passed down in his community up in the mountains for generations. And his dad had given him some, and he brought them down. He was going to plant them in our garden. And he was so excited and so certain that this was going to fulfill all his dreams and hopes, that he would plant these beans and they would bring forth a bumper crop. So he built bamboo teepees for them to run up. He planted them. He watered them. He intended them. And sure enough, they sprouted, and we had this abundance of vegetation, beautiful, beautiful leaves, beautiful vines with no beans. No beans. And right then and there, we had to face our limitations and be humbled by the fact that you can do all of these things to plan your work, but when it comes down to it, God is in control of the results. And you can tend and you can water and you can grow beautiful bean vines with no fruit. And it was kind of a lesson learned, and we laughed about it, and we thought, well, maybe it was the wrong climate, maybe something was wrong. And it was funny until later in the summer, when my then 8-year-old son got hold of the extra beans that we hadn't planted. And we had recently done a renovation in our backyard and added a patio. And so, you know, if you've done renovations, you know that there's always this extra dirt around where the work had been done. And one day we walked out, and there were these little green sprouts coming up in the dirt. We thought, oh, the grass is growing again. It wasn't grass. My son had gotten those beans and was playing around with them and had played farmer and had planted them in the dirt. And so we laughed. We figured out these beans had sprouted, but then they grew, and they grew, and they had blossoms. And they had beans on them. And we had no other choice except to just drive a stake into the ground and accept that the beans that my son had just thrown into the dirt ended up producing more than our carefully tended beans that we had spent weeks slaving over in the garden. And as I thought of that in terms of how we embrace the work that God has called us to, humility says the results are not up to me. I can work hard and be faithful and not see a lot of fruit for my labor, or I can have very little work invested and God bless abundantly, not based on my work, not based on my productivity, but based on his good favor and grace and what he chooses to do with our work. And in those moments, I realized that God calls us to follow him the same way the ox is called to his master, to work for the flourishing of his church, for the world. But the results really aren't in our hands. And we can work hard and feel like we're failures, or sometimes we'll do very little work at all, and God will just bring forth abundantly. And what we have to step back, the only way we can keep our equilibrium in that disparity is knowing that it was never about our work in the first place.
Hannah, you said this journey that God has had you on was birthed out of anxiety and restlessness and stress in your life, looking for the rest that Jesus promises and finding that the Scripture says it is in humility, it's in taking on His yoke that that rest is found. So are you sleeping better these days?
I am sleeping a whole lot.
How are you a different mom today than you were 3 years ago?
Well, I'm a lot more rested. One of the things that changed for me personally, and then it exhibited itself and it would flow out into my other responsibilities and callings, was I learned that I had to honor the limits of my body. I had to rest. I had to eat well. I had to honor these boundaries so that I was more able to enter into the callings that I had. So rather than being on edge and snippy and ready to explode because I was just exhausted and irritated.
Wait a second. You ready to explode?
She doesn't sound like someone who explodes, does she?
No. Oh. If it is, it's a very small firecracker.
No, it is large. And my children would tell you that as well. As I cared and respected the limits of my body and my own health and respected the limits of my spirit and said, I need time in the Word of God. I need time to live close to Christ. It allowed me to enter back into my relationships more whole and more able to deal with the things that you can't control. You know, I couldn't control what was happening in my home, but I could control my response to it.
So are you going to bed at 10? Are you getting up?
Yeah, it's going to bed at a reasonable time. It's making sure I get sufficient sleep. If that's most of the time, that's 7 to 8 hours, not skimping on that.
Okay.
It's making sure I eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And I know that may sound bizarre, but any mom that's out there knows exactly what I'm talking about. Barbara?
Exactly. I know exactly what you're talking about. Because when you're raising kids, your goal is feeding them and making sure they get what they need, and you're not so much thinking about yourself, because I'm an adult. I can figure it out. But I know that as a mom, that's your focus, is keeping your kids healthy and well, and you tend to neglect yourself.
But moms need fuel.
Yeah, but moms don't just need fuel, they need good fuel. And I think it's real easy to set aside what's best for us because we're living the more noble calling of taking care mm-hmm. of our kids. And you even talk about that in the book, that it's easy for us to hate our bodies, to hate our limitations, to hate what we need in order mm-hmm. to flourish. And that's not what God calls us to do.
Because when you're so busy, when you feel like you have so many responsibilities, it feels like you don't have time for these mm-hmm. things.
That's right.
And it is an act of humility to acknowledge that not only do you have time, but you must take time. From my experiencing in mothering and being in this stage of busyness in life, it was very easy to fall back on, well, I can get by. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe nobody else can get by. Mm. But I can get by.
Right. And moms say that. Yeah.
And there's a paradox. You recognize it. I mean, to say humility means I need me time sounds like what? And to say, well, I can get by is an act of humility. No, there's really an act of pride in the midst of that saying, I'm the superwoman.
Yes. The superwoman is a huge temptation mm-hmm. when you're busy and you're juggling so many different responsibilities, good callings, and you can slip into this mentality that says, I can live above normal human limits.
And it's not just the superwoman. It's the Christian superwoman. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Which is another level.
Yeah. Would your kids say they have a different mom today? Do they see that you're less explosive than you might have been 3 years ago when you were on a shorter—
I think they see a happier mom.
Okay.
A mom who's more playful. Who can joke around a little bit more with them. One of the things that came with this period of anxiety and feeling overworked was I don't have time for playfulness because you're so busy keeping them clothed and fed, and dad becomes the one who's playful. because he comes in, he's done, you know, in our family, my husband works at his office at the church, he comes home, he's available to them for joy and playfulness. And mom becomes the serious one holding down the family structure. And for me, relinquishing some of that control meant that I could open myself up to be kind of more fun with my children and more playful. And one thing that's changed is I'll sit down with them now and watch a TV show, or I'll watch a movie together, and I'll say, I'm putting my work aside. I need to honor the limits that I've been faithful. Mm-hmm. Like you said, Bob, mm-hmm. I've been faithful to the work I had to do today. I didn't accomplish anything, but it's time to turn it off. And so at 7 o'clock, I can say, kids, let's go sit down and we'll watch this nature show together. And having mom present on the couch watching it with them, rather than them sitting down to watch it and mom running around in the background doing all the work that she felt like she still needed to get done, is a totally different message to them. And I think it's allowed us to have better relationship, quite honestly.
And you may not be aware, but 2 decades from now, your kids will right. reflect back on mm-hmm. the nights that mom would sit down and watch those TV shows with us. And it will have formed them to be more whole and more mm-hmm. present people themselves. Mm-hmm. You may think, I'm not doing anything. I'm just sitting here. You're doing something powerful and profound by being there.
And I don't think I understood how much my need to accomplish all of these things was stealing me away from them. Hmm. I felt like doing all of these things to provide them a good home and to be a good parent to them was what they needed. But as I entered into this space of embracing my own limits, I became more available for them.
What that makes me think of is something that I've been learning recently is about the importance of presence. Mm-hmm. Presence is so important in marriage. I mean, Dennis and I have talked about this many, many times about how we not only enjoy one another's presence, but we need one another's presence. And it's true with our children, that our children don't want us just to provide for them and serve them and take them places. They want a relationship which comes by presence. And that's what God came to earth to do for us. He's Emmanuel. He came to be with us. And I think as parents, sometimes we so focus on the providing and the caring for and creating all these experiences, et cetera, and we forget that our presence with them is really the most important gift we can give them, being a part of their lives and building that relationship. So I love hearing that, and I hope that moms listening will take that to heart, because it's a challenge for us as women to not get caught up in the providing side and the caring for them side, and we neglect the being with them.
We often talk about how fathers may be workaholics or busy and away from the home, and maybe they're putting all these hours in at the mm-hmm. office. But even a stay-at-home mom or a mom who's with her kids a lot can be a workaholic.
Absolutely.
And even though you're in the same space,
you're not present.
You're not present.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
If we could call your husband right now, how would he say you've changed over the last 3 years? I mean, this is really tough. I mean, you're talking to a national audience here and probably a couple of your friends there in Virginia.
And Dennis has been known to call your husband, so yeah. you better give us the straight
answer.
Scoop here.
I think he would say that I'm not waking him up in the middle of the night because I'm awake bumping around the house. I'm sleeping better. I think he would say that I'm less frantic when a problem comes up. One of the things that I discovered, and he and I have talked about this a lot, is as I was operating in this space of anxiety and being overwrought, it also meant that I was always on edge. And so anything that happened, small or big, could feel huge and be a tipping point, and it would dump me over because I was already operating at this very heightened space of anxiety. So even something small in the church, he'd come home and tell me about it, and it'd be too much. And so he got to a place where he would feel like he couldn't always mm-hmm. share
right.
the burdens that he had because I couldn't handle them without overreacting. And now, as I'm learning to live in this space of peace and rest through Christ, I'm better able to be there for him when he needs me to support him emotionally too. So he's able to bring problems to me for support and help and know that I'm not going to explode because I've reached a tipping point and I can't carry anything else for him. And so I would hope that I am a better partner to him in his own journey, in his own growth, in his own work, that as I am able to grow in Christ and to have that peace that Christ provides, that I'm then able to shoulder the burdens with him rather than becoming an extra burden.
We don't talk about it often here on Family Life Today, but one of the things I most appreciate about Barbara is that very thing you're talking about. She is a great shock absorber. Mm. And sometimes a husband just needs his wife to be there and shoulder the burdens with him. And being a pastor of a local church has got a ton of burdens of people, real people, made in the image of God. Every job has got its thorns and thistles that a wife can better share with her husband if she is walking with Christ and is, as we've been talking about this week, yoked up. And I'm just going to close our broadcast today reading Matthew chapter 11 one more time, verse 28 to the end of the chapter. Jesus is speaking. Think about who made this command and this promise. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Hannah, I want to thank you for absorbing this passage and doing the hard work in your own relationship with Christ to pen the book you've written, Humble Roots, to pass on to others the lessons you've learned in the journey that will hopefully find many, many wives, frankly, several guys as well, husbands, single guys who experience humility at its deepest point, being yoked up with Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and of course, we've got copies of your book available in our Family Life Today Resource Center. The book is called Humble Roots. You can order a copy when you go online at familylifetoday.com, or you can call to order at 1-800-358-6329. Again, the website, familylifetoday.com, or call 1-800-F as in family, L as in life, and then the word today. You know, I don't know how many of our listeners know this, but this program is heard in more than 1,200 communities across the country. And more we're talking to people who listen to Family Life Today on their phones, on their devices. They tune in for the podcast or they use our app to listen to Family Life Today. The reach and impact of this ministry has grown over the years. Thanks to those of you who are not only regular listeners, but who support the mission of Family Life Today. You hear us talking each day about God's design for marriage and family, and you recognize this has value not only for your marriage and your family, but for people in your community who need practical help and hope. They need encouragement. They need instruction. They need to be pointed back to what the Bible has to say about God's design for marriage and family. That's our goal every day on Family Life Today, and we're grateful for those of you who come alongside us and help us reach more people more often with this message. If you are a regular listener and you'd like to join us, either with a one-time contribution or by becoming one of our monthly legacy partners, go to familylifetoday.com. Get more information about how you can do that. You can make a donation online. It's easy to do. Or call 1-800-FL-TODAY. And say, I'd like to make a donation, or I'm interested in becoming a legacy partner. Again, the number is 1-800-FL-TODAY. And with that, we've got to wrap things up for this week. Thanks for joining us. Hope you have a great weekend. Hope you and your family are able to worship together in your local church this weekend. And I hope you can join us back on Monday. In fact, I want to give you a little sneak peek of what we're going to hear next week. Robert and Nancy Wolgemuth are going to join us, and we're going to have a conversation about how a husband is to care for the needs of his wife
how he's to be attentive to those needs as a shepherd.
The sheep wandered off, and the shepherd lovingly pursued that sheep. And so in my experience with Nancy, I discovered early on, she's a person with lots of responsibility in ministry. And so we'll have this dinner time, and we'll be sitting there enjoying dinner, and I'm looking at her face, and she has wandered off. So what do I do to bring her back? Or what do I do to capture her? And it's patience, and it's warming, it's wooing her. It's not forgetting to woo her.
Well, we'll hear more from Robert and Nancy Wolgemuth on Monday. Hope you can tune in for that. I want to thank our engineer today, Keith Lynch, along with our entire broadcast production team. On behalf of our host, Dennis Rainey, I'm Bob Lapine. We'll see you back Monday for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a production of Family Life of Little Rock, Arkansas, a Crew ministry. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.